Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Colossians, the first chapter. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Epiphany is the season of revelation and glory. It's the glory of our God come in the flesh, now revealed among us. It's the glory of his rich treasure and tribute that he begins already to bring in from the Gentiles also, not only from the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to the flesh. And Christ is the light who enlightens the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Well, today's short scripture passage touches on all of these things, although Paul gives it not really as an epiphany sermon or message, but as a summary of his ministry and his purpose as an apostle. But whenever Paul is doing that, he's not simply laying out the rules for what a minister or an apostle or a missionary is to be. He is always pressed into doing it, because he's not the sort of guy who wants to talk about leadership or about his office or about his role. He is the kind of guy who wants to be talking about the gospel and preaching Jesus Christ at all times. But everything he writes is against the backdrop of his opponents and his false teachers who are challenging his apostolic ministry and force him into it, force him into boasting, as he says, kind of strangely sometimes, and forces him into telling over and over again what his ministry is focused on, and then turning it into his chance to talk about Jesus. So he says right before today's passage, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, which are even filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, for the sake of his church. It's always a bit of a puzzle to figure out who Paul's opponents are, but it seems in Colossians especially that they are some sort of the beginning of the Gnostic heresy. Paul uses the word knowledge over and over again, revealing these secrets, these mysteries, but according to the Gnostic heresy, there is secret knowledge that was not publicly disclosed by Jesus, that only certain people have, and it's always a very strange mystery when you finally get down to it. It is something that often is contrary to what everybody else knows about God. So there are still lots of Christians who get up and preach, and then the things they say are things you've never heard before. Things strange and arcane out of the Old Testament, which helps because nobody knows Hebrew. Or things that are strange and arcane out of Revelation, which helps because nobody understands Revelation. Or the other opponent, always at Paul's heels, the Judaizers. Those who are still living in the Old Testament, at least in the false understanding of the Old Testament. The opponents of Jesus were always the Pharisees, and these seem to carry on in their footsteps, though to a certain degree believing in Jesus, insisting that the Gentiles have to pass through the law before they can come to Christ. Or, usually in Pharisaic fashion, they have to move beyond Christ, and the way to do that is to go deeper into their own rabbinic teachings, with their methods and their techniques. Well, the great epiphany and the revelation and the full making known that Paul writes about is far different than his opponents in three ways. First, that the epiphany is made known in the Word of God. Second, that it is especially in Christ who is proclaimed in and among us. And third, that it is always for open and noble purposes among us. First, the revelation of God is in the Word of God. Paul says that he is making the mystery known, and he then puts in apposition to it, in other words, to say the same thing is, making known the Word of God. So we see that this mystery that Paul is proclaiming is not a secret. It's not something that was hidden before and is to remain hidden now. It is something that he is disclosing to us. It's true. It is mysterious. It is profound. But that's because the scope and accomplishment and origin of this great salvation is so mysterious and profound. God himself. Yes, it is amazing that the Lord would have worked all things from before the creation of the world so that we would be elect in Christ Jesus and saved in him. But this is exactly the case. And Paul proclaims it in an open way, in an accessible way, even in a published way, as we hear in Psalm 19. This is what the Holy Spirit has done. He's seen that his word would be written down so that all of us may have access to it. So the Word of God is the epiphany and revelation of his heart and mind. Second, the epiphany is in Christ Jesus. That may seem so obvious, but it is essential that we never skip over the good part to get into something else that's more interesting or usually more strange, as we mentioned. Paul says that Christ in him, that's the one that he proclaims. We can see that preaching is so important in the church because it is a public and open speaking to everyone who will hear of what our faith and our teaching and our life is all about in Christ. He then says that it is Christ who is the hope of glory, Christ in us. Or this phrase can also be translated like the phrase just before it, in the Gentiles, among the Gentiles, among us. What would this mean? Well, Christ in us is what we have from holy baptism. By faith, he dwells in our hearts. By holy baptism, he comes to dwell with us, as we've heard all this season, that we belong to him, and he then pledges himself to us. Among us could, of course, mean the Holy Sacrament giving us the word and the sacraments quite beautifully in this passage. But it also is what he said just a moment before about the Gentiles, that Christ is among us, not a small group of us, not a particular tribe of us, but indeed even among us, among the Gentiles. He is not limited to a certain person. He is not limited in a human way of access, that it's some zero-sum game where we have him, but you do not. Christ is among his people. This is what his epiphany is, a public revealing of him, finally, not just to Jerusalem, but out to the ends of the world. And thirdly, the great revelation and epiphany that Paul is making known that is here for us in Christ Jesus is open. It is for open purposes, and it is for noble growth. Paul uses these words then when he talks about what his ministry in Christ is, to warn and to teach. So it is not some Gnostic, conspiratorial, or esoteric teaching that comes to no purpose, that wouldn't warn anybody except to say, well, you have to come over to us. And second, it says that he wants to present us, which means at the last day, mature in Christ. This word means perfect. It means fulfilled. It's related to the word Jesus uses on the cross when he said, all is accomplished. It is finished in his death. Indeed, reaching the end. He wants to present us righteous. He wants to present us mature. He wants us to present us as those who have grown in Christ, who is among us, the hope of glory. How different this is from Judaizers who prove to be guides but never fathers, and from Gnostics who are always obsessed with the strange details of the Scriptures, perhaps, but only as a stepping-off point into foolishness. So it is that the testimony of the Christian church is just what Jesus gave when given the opportunity in his trials. He said, "Look, I have always spoken openly to the world. I've taught in the synagogues where all the Jews come together, and I have said nothing in secret. And the proof of it is that you can ask those who have heard me, because they know what I have said." And that is who we are as Christians, those who have the mystery disclosed to us, not so that we have it secretly, but those who are always open, honest, not peddling for profit or secrets, but open with the gospel to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.